and make it happen. Colorado. How you doing, my friend? Yeah. I don't know who we're going to get this under control. Okay. And it's so great to see all the excitement and have the opportunity to share it with each other. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Father God, we come to you again, being so thankful, such a beautiful, beautiful day, and being so thankful, Father God, to have the opportunity to meet and celebrate you. And Father God, we pray that we'll receive a blessing today in God's house, that we'll want to go out and we'll share this blessing. Let us leave here with a fire that we can spread to others about your name and your works. We ask in Jesus Christ's holy and precious name. Amen. And by the way, every morning we still have, on Sunday morning, we have donuts out here in the hall. So we got donuts and coffee. So if any of you folks want to come a little bit early and get that, you're more than welcome.
Good.
Get me a little ad in there.
Yeah. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Good morning, Crestview family. Thank you for choosing to come worship with us today. We're glad to have you here with us. I see lots of faces, lots of new faces here. If you're a guest or visitor with us for the first time and would like to, there's some cards you can fill out just so we can get to know you a little bit better. And they're in your pews in front of you, and you can drop them in the offering plate. But we're glad to have everybody. It's an exciting, every day is an exciting day in the Lord's house. When we get to celebrate, baptism, it's even more exciting. So I'm excited about that. I'm not going to hold you with a bunch of announcements today. I just want to remind you about our Wednesday night services. Youth and children meet down in the building. Adults meet up here for a prayer meeting and a Bible study. I see what goes on down there. I don't get to make it up here a lot on Wednesdays, but we're growing every week. We'd love to have you come out and join us for those Wednesday night activities. And it's going to get even busier soon because I believe the 1st of October we're going to start our children's Christmas play. So that will be coming up. So if you have kids that want to be in the Christmas play, keep that in mind. 1st of October, and we'll start feeding the kids on Wednesday night, and we're just going to make it happen. I don't have any announcements personally. Whitey wanted to come up and talk about what's coming up in 2 weeks. So, and after that, other than that, the senior citizens, Sandra wants to meet with everybody down front after the service today. And talk about y'all joining the youth group, I think. So, I'm just going to turn it over to Whitey, and after that, we will begin by celebration and baptism.
Good morning. September the 7th, we'll have a poor men's supper right at the church to be a fundraiser for a state missions offering. suggested donation to be $10 for adults and $6 for children that's 6 to 12 and 5 and under will be free. So if you would like to have a ticket, and we'd like to have ticket sales so we know how many to fix for, to see one of the WMU or one of the Baptist men, people to grab a ticket. So again, it will be September the 7th and be immediately following the church service that morning. Also, don't forget about our breakfast coming up on the following day. The day before, on Saturday morning at 6. So come out and be with us, and I hope you enjoy your time there.
Morning. It's always a privilege to be able to celebrate a person who has received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. Baptism functions three different ways. Baptism is one way that we emulate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for he himself was baptized by John the Baptist. Baptism is also a way to become membership, to be a member of a church. But also baptism is a symbol. It's a symbol, as Paul describes, death to the old nature, rising up a new creature in Christ. Rusty has already received Christ. He already knows his Savior. And now he is following Christ's example by going through the baptismal waters to declare before each of you his newfound faith. I ask you, do you confess Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior?
I do.
Upon his profession of faith, I baptize you, my brother in Christ, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And the people said, thankful that the water is nice temperature. I did one of these and the heater broke. That is not a fun thing.
Before we open this up in prayer this morning,
I want me to remind everyone that if you're participating in the ASL class, they're going to meet after service today down in the prayer room. I think would be a good place for that. So if you're...
The Loving Hearts classroom.
Sorry, that way, not that way. But, well, so if you're staying for that, that's after service today. And but right now, just want to invite us to shut the things off of the outside world. I know the world is a busy place. There's a lot of things going on. This is some time set apart where we can just truly focus on God, who he is, and what he's done for us. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning inviting you in this place, inviting you to be here with us as we worship you this morning, as we praise you, as we honor you, as we dig into your scriptures, Lord, as we seek what it is that you have for our life. Lord, we just ask that as we go through this week, Lord, that I just ask special blessings on each and everyone in here, each and everyone watching, just all of your children, Lord. There's so many things that go on in our lives, things that we don't want to talk about, we don't want to tell other people about, Lord, but you know every heart, you know every need, you know every want. Lord, and I just pray that we feel your presence as we move into this week, because you're there with us. All we've got to do is allow it to be felt on our side. Lord, give us the patience as we go out into the world. Give us the drive to go out and love people the way Christ loved us. Be with us through this service today, and I pray that your words be heard, your work be done, and your will be done in this place and in our hearts as we go out into the community, into the places around us, and be a light and a beacon for you and who you are. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for the death and resurrection, and for the ascension to go and prepare us a place that one day, Lord, we will get to spend an eternity with you. I ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Offerings.
Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this chance you've given us to come into your house and worship you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity you've given us to give back a portion of what you so bountifully blessed us with, Lord. We ask that you would just take this money and you would use it to glorify your kingdom. For us in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Would you stand again?
Kids who want to come down for the children's sermon, head on down. I sense a theme in our service today. What do you think? So, I have a question for you guys. Who in here likes to go to yard sales, flea markets, or thrift stores? Anybody like to do that and go find something that maybe somebody else had? Me? You like to go to those things? And you can have a seat. And we find things that belong to somebody else. And we have an opportunity when we do that to bring those things home. And we clean them up. If it's something broke, we might fix it or get our mom or dad to fix it. And make it look like it's new, right? And it may not be new, but it's new to us. Well, today we are going to be looking at a Bible verse about how we can be made new. Did you know that you can be made new? You didn't know that? Yes, you did. If you didn't know that, Ty, you ain't been listening to me for the past year. Come on now. It's all right. I love you anyway. But we are going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all these things have become new. So, you guys just witness Mr. Rusty get dunked in the water, right? And what was that called? Somebody tell me what that was.
Baptism.
Or he was baptized. That's right. Or some of you guys might say, I can't try to think how you say it. Baptized is what I hear sometimes. hey, and however you want to say it, I love it. But when we get baptized, it is a show to our family and our church members and all those who see us that we have given our life over to Jesus Christ. There was nothing special in that water. It didn't have any special cleaners in there that clean us up to make us new. God does that. God makes us new through Jesus Christ. And when Jesus died on a cross and was risen up on the third day, he made a way
for us to be made new, which means, so what does that mean that we're made new? Well, each and every one of us are not perfect. Raise your hand if you think you're perfect. Anybody think you're perfect? Yep. I wanted to see that, and that's okay. I wanted somebody to raise their hand because sometimes we can think we're perfect. You think you're perfect? Sometimes, and I'm going to tell you what, you guys, some of you guys, I think you're pretty perfect sometimes too. But we can feel that way. But none of us are perfect. The Bible tells us that all of us fall short of who God wants us to be because we do something called sin. And that means when we disobey one of God's rules. But Jesus came and he died on a cross. Jesus never sinned. He was perfect. And he took the punishment for sin in your place, and 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 everybody's place in here, everybody's place watching, and everybody's place across the whole world, the whole entire world, that all we have to do is accept Jesus into our life and say, God, I want to do away with all the old things that held me back, and I'm giving it all to you, and I accept Jesus into my life as my Lord and Savior, and I want to follow him. And we're made new. And so that water that Mr. Rusty got baptized in is a symbol, because water cleans us off. It is a symbol that we are made new. All of our sins are washed away. So as you guys get older and you guys start to understand this more, I look forward to a day when you guys are standing up there doing the same thing, showing your church family that you have decided to give your life over to Jesus and be made new. And so I encourage you guys to listen when we talk, when you're here in the church, and so you guys can understand what it means to really know Jesus and know who he is in our life. And we're going to pray, and anybody third grade or younger, we're going to head out to Children's Church shortly. So let's get ready to do that. But let's pray first, and you guys can sit on the front row till Children's Church, or you can go back and sit with your family. It's whatever you choose to do. But I will sit up here with you on the front row if you want me to. God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for loving us the way you do. Lord, thank you for this day we get to celebrate the baptism of Rusty. Lord, thank you for making us new through Jesus Christ, through him coming and living a life we couldn't live, dying a death that we deserve, and raising up on the third day. The Lord now is getting us a place ready, and it's so exciting. Lord, forgive us for our sin. And I pray that we're able to go out and share the love of Jesus with everybody we come in contact with. All this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. When I reach that city, the gates swing open wide. I'm gonna sing redemption's story of how it brought me from the other side. Yes, when I reach that city, the gates swing open wide. I'm gonna sing redemption's story of how he brought me from the other side. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life and my sins are washed away. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that
I invite you to turn to your Bibles, Matthew chapter 7, or you can follow along in your bulletin. I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 1 and reading through verse 6. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, then you'll be able to see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. May God bless the reading and hearing of the word. Would you join me as we pray? Lord, we come to you this day asking that your word would come alive so that you would be able to speak to our hearts, to lift up those who feel weak, to strengthen those who are hurting in some way, to be able to challenge some of us, to be able to walk closer with you. Lord, we pray that all things of this service would be for your glory and honor.
For we offer this prayer as we offer this service to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? Or, at my age, mirror, mirror on the wall, what happened? This passage asks us to be able to see and discover what we see when we look at others. But before we can do that, it asks us to take a good, close look at ourselves. I believe Jesus says we should not judge others. We should not judge others because God told us not to judge others. God is the one who ultimately is the judge, not us. We should remember, as Chad reminded us, except for about five children, none of us are perfect. But we do apparently do have five perfect children here. But none of us are perfect, and because we're not perfect, we realize that we have to be careful about judging others because we may be guilty of the same things. I find that oftentimes people can pick out certain character flaws easier than others because chances are that's the same flaw they struggle with. And that's why they see it so easily in others. We all are sinners, and we all should be careful about seeing sin in others without first observing the sin in our own lives. Proverbs 21, verse 2 says, "Every way of a man is right in his eyes, but the Lord's ways the heart." Jesus said it another way, "Why do you look at the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log, or I prefer 2x4, in your own eye?" Since we're all sinners, we have to take care about judging others, lest we be hypocritical about our own struggles with sin. We often form an opinion based on something we see or something we hear, but chances are we don't have any idea what that person's been through. We don't know what about their upbringing. We don't know what they're struggling with on a daily basis. That's why we have to be careful about being too quick to judge others. A second thing Jesus says to us, that we will be judged by the same standards by which we judge others. So the higher the bar we set for other people, the higher our bar gets set, as God then judges us by the same standard. That's a pretty scary thought to me. If I'm judgmental with others about something of which I'm also guilty, I will be held accountable just as they will. If I demand perfection in others, then people should expect to demand perfection in me. Jesus approached this another way in chapter 5, where he said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Jesus assumes that when we ask for forgiveness, we're also in the process of forgiving other people's. As a matter of fact, he ties those things together. If you expect to be forgiven from God, you have to be able to forgive others. In chapter 6, he taught us to pray. And in that prayer, he said, "Forgive our sins as we forgive our debtors." When we judge others, we establish a criteria by which we ourselves will be held accountable. But there's a third aspect of what Jesus is offering here as well. We should not judge others because ultimately, only God is worthy to judge. Peter said in Acts that God ordained Jesus to be the judge of the living and the dead. And one of the earliest confession of faith, the Apostles' Creed, uses these exact words that were spoken by Peter. That Jesus is the only one. He is the Lamb of God. He is the one who is worthy to be able to judge the living and the dead. And when we judge someone, we unintentionally take the role of God. And that is not a role we should take. When we judge someone, we intentionally or unintentionally take Jesus' place. When all is said and done, only the Lamb, the worthy Lamb, who is Jesus, can determine someone's fate and judge. But what do we do with verse 6? Don't give sacred to dogs and don't give pearls to pigs. I haven't had that temptation. Maybe some of you have. I've really not wanted to offer pearls to pigs. Pigs were not that attractive to me to offer pearls to them. So I'm not sure what to do with this particular passage. There's different interpretations. Let me suggest a few that possibly could mean. I believe this verse exists to provide a buffer for the first 5 verses. We're not to judge, but we're also not to be naive either. For remember what Jesus said as he sent out his disciples, as he sent out the 12, be wise as serpents, but gentle as doves. And so, not to be naive, but to be wise. To be innocent as doves, but wise as serpents. Maybe that is something to say that sin, we recognize that ultimately sin will be judged, whether within us or others. But it's not our place to be that judge. Early Christian writers used the term dog to refer to someone who believed in Christ but returned to their sinful ways, such as a dog. And I won't finish that because dog's returning to something that came out of the dog. But that's the phrase. Or you have the idea that also dogs was a term used for Gentiles, for non-Jews. There's the woman who then called out to Jesus, and Jesus didn't respond to her. And she called out again, and finally she said, even the dogs get to eat scraps from the table. She was a Gentile, a non-Jew. And then Jesus responded to her. Early Christian writers used this term pig in reference to people who have never accepted Christ, but spend all their time wallowing in sin. Now, whether these are proper interpretations, I don't know. Is Jesus trying to say we do not share the gospel or help those who are non-Christians? Because if you take that interpretation, that doesn't make sense to me. I don't think that's the proper interpretation. I think we have to see this verse in the context with the previous verses. If we condemn the sinner for their sins, whether they be non-Christian or a backslidden person, who are living in sin, respond to someone condemning them for their sins. Not many, I would expect. On the other hand, how many persons who are living in sin respond to someone who loves the sinner, loves the person, and responds to the person with love instead of hate? One of the most read scripture passages, John 3:16. Many people have it memorized. But just as important as John 3:16 is John 3:17, which people often don't read with John 3:16. John 3:16, as most of us are familiar, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus is not coming to the world to say how bad we are. All we have to do is look in the mirror and I see how bad I am and how far short I fall. Paul says we all fall short of the glory of God. But Jesus came to save people, not to condemn people. Jesus came to love people and die on the cross for them, not simply to be able to be critical of how they live their lives. How many persons would respond to love? And if God loves the world, and we have to be careful what the world means there, it doesn't mean God loves the people I like. God loves the people that are like me. God loves the people that come from a similar background with me. No, it says God loves the world. And that means nobody escapes that love. That love is for every single human being on the face of the earth. And if God loves the world, then as the children of God, we too are called upon to love the world as well. And it is our task not to stand in judgment of the world, but rather to take every possible opportunity to provide the message of salvation so that they can be saved and they could be able to meet Jesus face to face and Him welcome them to their heavenly home. We are all sinners. We all are saved by grace who have received Jesus Christ. We are not, nor will we ever be perfect on this earth. Yet even though we deserve God's judgment and condemnation, it is God's love that provided a solution for us. He came into the world to demonstrate how deep, how wide is the love of God. That is the best news ever. That's why it's called good news. Because in a world where there's all kinds of problems, fighting going on, broken relationships, people losing jobs, there's all kinds of stuff going on. But one reality that never changes, God loves you. And there's nothing on the face of this earth that can change that fact. It is reality. And God has loved you so much that He sent His own Son to die on the cross for you. Today we are to sing with joyful hearts. We have a gift. In many ways, I'm preaching the second sermon of the day. Rusty preached the first one up here. That was the first sermon. And there's nothing I can say that's more important than what you just saw and what you observed earlier today. We have good news. We have a solution to our problems. And that solution is Jesus Christ. So when we sing, we should sing with our hearts, even if our voices don't exactly sound melodious. But we sing with a heart because the heart will burst if we don't sing. We sing with our hearts the joy of this world because into this world, God came personally to be able to address the problem of sin in our lives. And we should strive. Actually, we shouldn't strive. We should ask God because our striving won't get us very far. But ask God to create in us a love for people that allows us to be able to share that good news with others and to provide that opportunity. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nations. Would you join me as we pray? Lord, as we come to you this day, we pray that you help us to understand how much you love us, how much you have, what a price you have paid to make possible having a personal relationship with you through Jesus Christ. We thank you for the earlier sermon that was declared from the water. And we pray that, like the song that was sung by the choir, for us to realize we don't get to heaven by striving and thriving and grasping and running or walking. We get there by your grace because of what Jesus did. And there's nothing that we bring to the table except our hearts. And I pray each and every heart has recognized you in this room as your Lord, as their Lord and as their Savior. For it's in Jesus' name I offer this prayer. Amen.
Would you stand as we sing our hymn of invitation, 483, Footsteps of Jesus. 483.
Sweetly, Lord, we have heard Thee calling, come, follow me. And we see where Thy footprints falling lead us to Thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow.
We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. Though they lead o'er the cold, dark mountain, seeking his sheep, or along by Siloam's fountain, helping the weak. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of